20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome into the Thursday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, everyone. I am Steve Perhatch. I'm joined by Dusty Evely. Sarah Kelleher is in Las Vegas and not joining us today. And so, Dusty, what's going on, man? It's just the two of us today. It'll be I might have enough to really set you over the edge today. So I'm very excited for this episode. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. But yeah, no, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. You know, things got a little tenuous over chat earlier today. I almost called in sick tonight, and I made you go solo. But I don't want to call myself a hero, but I am. Others are free to call me that. Excited to. Excited to talk. This seems like the first time that we've been recording that we've not had something very clear to talk about. There's like nothing. We're right in the doldrums of the off season. There's not a ton going on, but hey, I'm excited to talk to you all the same.
That was one of the things that kind of, we were trying to think of things to talk about today, and all of a sudden it's like, well, the draft is over. they've signed most of their rookies. There's a little mini camp, but there's not a lot going on. Like, mailbag. Let's do a mailbag.
Let's make other people do our work for us.
Exactly. Before we dive into our mailbag, we did want to talk. There was a statement released today by the Packers and Ted Thompson, just kind of going over the health issues that, you know, plagued him and the reason he stepped down. We're not going to do a big deep dive into it, but I mean, everybody knows Ted was Ted. Like, he was great for this organization. He did so many wonderful things. It sucks that this is kind of the way it all went, that his health kind of took a toll on him, but happy to see him in his retirement with the Packers. And overall, just it's sad, but it's just one of those things I think we all kind of knew was happening, but it was maybe not nice to get that confirmation, but it was just, you know, comforting to hear, I guess, maybe for me. I don't know. Is that what you were kind of feeling?
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, I had zero idea if anything was going on, but there, you know, there've been rumors floating around of health concerns for a while. So this is not a shock by any stretch of the imagination, but you know, you never wish that on anybody, man. Like, that kind of thing, you never wish that on anybody. And someone like Ted Thompson, who's been with the Packers organization for a while and was a very good GM. And just like had a really, I always love, you know, you never heard him talk much, but he always had like a very like dry sense of humor, kind of a very dry, quick wit that I always just loved his press conferences, because you knew he was just going to get some ridiculously underhanded burns without just cracking his face. That was always tremendous. So, hey, Ted, you're not listening to this, but hey, we appreciate everything you did. You know, hope this all turns out for the best, man. This it's not great news, yeah, I don't know what else there is to say.
To be fair, we don't know if Ted is listening, because we did find out we have a listener all the way out in Germany.
That's true.
We will be getting one of his questions in a little bit. So, I mean, you never know. The reach of the Pack-A-Day Podcast is growing, and Ted Thompson might be one of those guys.
If we can reach Germany, we can reach Ted Thompson.
I think so. Yeah. I think that's fair. Before we jump into our mailbag, I do want to pull the curtain a little bit back and discuss why Dusty might be killing me tonight. Sarah is in Vegas, as we just said, and she is at a show with her family, and she told us that she was going to see the Beatles live. Is that what it was?
Yeah, it's like a Vegas Beatles show, yeah.
Vegas Beatles show. And so we, you know, Dusty and I are telling her, like, have fun, and as soon as I find out it's a Beatles show, immediate response is, boo. And this set Dusty off. Apparently he's been a little bit of a rough week, maybe, but I apparently have set Dusty off. So I'm going to be a little bit careful the way I talk to him tonight, because if I say the wrong thing, he might just come out and fully blow me up for all my Beatles sakes, because I don't really like them. I think they're a little overrated. I get that they were, as you said, they're highly influential. Dusty wrote a speech for me. He wrote a speech for me in the text about how influential the Beatles were and blah, 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 blah.
Well, this is my point. This is all I want you to know. This is all I want anyone. Just because you don't like the Beatles does not mean that they're overrated. The Beatles were remarkably influential. They made, as I said to you, they made and influenced some of the most innovative, forward-thinking pop music for that time that really, I believe, pushed forward the entire evolution of pop music. on their own, like just based on like kind of late 60s output and then kind of how that inspired others. You know, you look at, you know, the Beach Boys and the Zombies, and there's a whole bunch of other ways you could go with that. So whether you like them or not, they've been super influential. So I think to call them over, if you don't like them, I don't care. If you call them overrated, I think that's ignorant and I will get upset about it.
It seems like you do care, Dusty. It does.
No, if you don't like them, I don't care. It's the overrated thing that gets me, Steve. Just mind your P's and Q's, Buster.
No, they're fully overrated. I'm so mm-hmm. All right, we're not going to get into this because this is not what this
you're,
is about.
You're wrong, but we got some questions to get to. So,
all right, so we're going to just start jumping in. We got a bunch of great questions from you guys, so thank you very much. Number one, we'll pop off with Sandro. Hey guys, this is Sandro from Germany. Who do you guys think will be our backup quarterback this year? Kaiser still safe, or has Boyle a legitimate shot at the number two job? So what do you think? And by the way, sorry. Thank you for your work. I'm glad the Oreo team is finally back at full power. Go Pack, go. Sadly, we are not at full power tonight. However, you know, going forward, we definitely will be. And Sarah has said that she is very, very sad she's not here, which is very confusing. I mean, we're two lovable guys, but sweet Jesus, she's in Vegas. Like,
She should not even be talking to us during this week.
No, so, number two quarterback. What do you think?
I think it's Kaiser. I mean, I get the Boyle love, and I was glad they kept around for three last year. I mean, he showed some stuff, and, you know, we had, Callahan kicking around for a while, and Callahan was like, well, he knows the playbook. He's super limited. Like, Boyle doesn't have those same limitations Callahan does, so to have him as, like, QB3, I'm fine with. You know, he didn't have a whole lot of college production. He has flashed some ability, and that's fine. He's fun to watch in the preseason. I think just based on who Kaiser is and what he could bring and kind of his ability, I think that puts him over Boyle. I think, you know, it's tough to tell. I think it is tough to tell because you don't know, you know, that was under the old coaching staff. You don't know how the new coaching staff is going to take to him. I think just based on everything we know about Kaiser and everything we know about Boyle, I think Kaiser's safe because I think Kaiser is a better option than Boyle. Now, if Kaiser doesn't progress like they want to, they might move out. They might move on after next year. But I think for this year, it's, for me, Kaiser by a fairly wide margin.
Totally agree with you. I think I'm definitely on the same page. I think they invested so much in Deshaun Kaiser that they still need to try to get it to work. I mean, you saw the same thing with Brett Hundley. I know it's a different coaching system, a different GM, things like that. But I mean, they were all in on trying to make him work as a backup, and you know, they flipped him for an extra pick. And I'm assuming that's the same goal that they have for Deshaun Kaiser, is they'd like to be able to flip him for a pick. And if he shows a couple of things in preseason, if he, you know, can really solidify that backup role, that's a very valuable thing that can be a trade chip in the future. So I think 100% agree with you. I think Kaiser is definitely number two. Would not shock me if Boyle is still there at the number three. I do think they'll have three quarterbacks this year again. I think that's a pretty easy slam dunk Kaiser number two.
Yeah.
Okay, so next up, we are going to, by far the best handle that we had a question from. This guy, man, his handle is BM Skidmark.
It could mean anything. It's a family name, Steve. Brian Michael Skidmark, Esquire.
All right, so we're just going to move right past that. Why wasn't the entire coaching staff and front office cleaned out after 2014? Any idiot could see it was obviously needed.
Steve, I have 1,000 thoughts on this, so do you want to lead off? Because when I go, sure. I'm going to be going a while.
I'll lead off. I'll keep it pretty simple. It's the Packers. They don't do that. That's just not who that organization is. They don't clean house after going to an NFC Championship game, bringing back a majority of the same guys, bringing back that team that got so close. You know, they made some small changes, and granted, a lot of the fans were clamoring for those big changes. They eventually got made, but to expect the Packers to wipe out an entire coaching staff and an entire GM, it's just not what they would have. That's not who they are and not how they operate. So while I see your point of you could tell that was the beginning of the end for a lot of people, it's just the Packers. That's what they do.
Yeah, and that was going to be, that was one of my first points, is it's not Jerry Jones running the show. They don't have a hot-headed owner. They take their time. And for that game in particular, now I'm not saying that, like, you know, this season doesn't operate in a vacuum, so we'd seen everything that kind of came up to that point. So I get the cleaning house, but this is kind of my thoughts on it, is that game, you know, they made it to the 2014 NFC Championship game, and that was hobbled Rodgers' year. Now he had some good games on that one leg, but he was going up against the Seahawks, who were a very good defense on one leg, and they played it a little more conservative, and they played very well for the most part. But there's like, you know, a dozen or so things that went wrong in that game, whether that's through decision making or that's through fluke stuff, that if any one of those breaks another way, Packers win that game. So you have, not to make everyone relive like one of the darkest memories in recent Packers history, but you've got, and I'll go back relatively early. This is just off the top of my head. I started listing things off, and did not look any of this up. This is off the top of my head because I've watched that game more times than I should care to. In the first quarter, Rodgers chucked the ball into the end zone. That was picked up by Richard Sherman. He chucked that ball into the end zone because there was a clear offsides by a Seahawks guy that was not called, and you could see him complaining about it. Well, I think they were on the 30 or so at that point. They're at least coming away with points instead of the Seahawks getting the ball. That's one. You had a three-man rush on 3rd and 19 that did zero. That allowed Russell Wilson to sit back for roughly 10 seconds, find a guy wide open because you can't just cover guys for that long.
Because it was 10 seconds.
And that was then, to lead into my next point, that was a drive that ended with the fake punt touchdown that had A.J. Hawk deciding that he was going to run directly at John Ryan, even though there was no one behind him. And John Ryan was at best going to pick up 3 yards on maybe like a 4th and 7 if he ran. Dumb decision. So you had that. You also had the Packers' last offensive possession, like before the Seahawks went ahead, where they just, against a stacked box, and I looked at this in case, like, in the face of an increasingly stacked box, every play the safety came up another 3 yards, just ran right in the middle of the line with Eddie Lacy instead of giving your all-world quarterback at least one throw to try to pick up a first down to ice the game. You've got Burnett going down after the interception. You've got Clinton Dix forgetting how the human body worked on a two-point conversion. You had the decision to go cover zero in overtime. Not great. That wasn't great. And then Bostic just, you know, forgetting that he wasn't supposed to try to catch that ball. And that's just off the top of my head. So my point is, and there's more than that. The point is, it was a team that was good enough to get to the Super Bowl, even with a hobbled Rodgers. They made mistakes. They had fluke things happen. And so I understand not wanting to blow everything up when you're that close and, like, just any one of those tiny things breaking your way leads in you winning. You're like so close. You literally went overtime after making a ton of mistakes from going to the Super Bowl. And again, it doesn't happen in a vacuum, but if you look at that, you don't blow a team up over that. I'm going one step further. I decided to look at the head coaches that were hired in 2015. Because you say if you're going to blow it up, I mean, you start with McCarthy, right? So who are the head coaches that were hired in 2015? Who was available? Who'd they take? Are you ready for this, Steve?
I feel like this is going to be really good.
This is gruesome. So as I'm saying these names, I want you to think, hey, I'd rather have that man than Mike McCarthy because I'm a crazy person. First off, you got Dan Quinn, who's still with the Falcons. Dan Quinn seems like a solid coach, even though, I don't know, I'm not the biggest Dan Quinn guy. But he's still with this team. Legitimately the only guy hired in 2015 that is still with this team. 2015 is not that long ago. The rest of the guys. John Fox was hired by the Bears. Rex Ryan was hired by the Bills. Todd Bowles was hired by the Jets. Gary Kubiak was hired by the Broncos. Jack Del Rio was hired by the Raiders. And the immortal Jim Tomsula was hired by the 49ers. That's not exactly a murderer's row of guys there. Again, Quinn the only one still with the team. So it's not to say the Packers would have... that those were the only guys on the market. Not to say that the Packers couldn't have hired someone else, but those were the guys who filled head coaching vacancies in the year afterwards. And so, as a theoretical, I want you to say, blow the whole thing up. Mike McCarthy's out the door. He's done. One of these guys is leading the Packers from 2015 on. Do you feel good about any of those guys? Even Dan Quinn.
Dusty, I have to cut you off. If I'm the GM, I'm smart enough at that point to go out and hire Sean McVay.
And look at this forward thinking. Where were you in 2014, Steve?
I didn't have a podcast to talk about it, but I totally was calling for him to be hired by the Packers.
You were just shouting from the rooftops. There's a man that's going to take the league by storm.
He's younger than me, but he's definitely going to be a head coach in about 3 years.
He'll be, you know, be in the Super Bowl in a few years. Don't buy, hear me now, believe me later.
Holy crap, you listing all of that stuff off made me so sad. Oh my God.
And listen, and this
reliving
is,
that whole game.
This is what I told you over the message. I was in the middle of rattling all that stuff off the top of my head and writing it down so I didn't forget it when you were like, Beatles are overrated. So this is on your head, Steve.
You know, sometimes I just have to drop truth bombs on you and see what happens. Cause,
it's not truth bombs. That's the problem. But yeah, I guess to round us out here, in the time you could say they should have blown it up, and looking back, like maybe, I don't think it was the right decision based on what happened that year and who was available, even though that's frustrating.
Totally makes sense. So going, next question, totally going on brand for our podcast for us, Maggie Lawler, one of our faithful other podcast hosts, asks, which Oreos are the best Oreos? So Dusty apparently has a surprise answer for me, so I'm very intrigued to hear this.
Well, first of all, it's her handle is still Maggie Lawler, but it's Maggie Loney because she got married, a month or so ago?
Yeah,
At Lambeau, if I'm not mistaken. I believe she was married at Lambeau, which is, I was going to crash that wedding, and I did not. So, sorry, Maggie. I'm throwing a curveball at you, Steve, because we've talked about Oreos a lot. I'm going peanut butter. Ooh. I'm going, peanut butter's high, man. I think I got original too.
The best Oreo?
When you can find peanut butter, my God in heaven. It's life-changing. It's life-changing. What do you got, Steve? Yeah, I know. I mean, listen, I was arguing for the bracket, and I feel like everyone forgot that I was arguing that.
We always go original, because right now, original is best. They made it the right way. I feel the same way with the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. They made that the right way the first time.
I'm with you there. Yeah.
Everything else they do, you know, the minis, the putting Reese's pieces in them, the little things that you can do to change it, whatever, fine. I'm not going to complain about Reese's pieces in a peanut butter cup. That's fine. But that's still number one. I would say the only other one right now that is competing is they have released a fudge-dipped Oreo.
I've not had that yet.
So it is a original Oreo dipped in fudge. It gave the original a run for its money.
All right. I'll have to check it out.
I recommend trying them out. You know, might not be for everyone. It's a little extra chocolatey as opposed to the extra cream filling. So that's more up my alley. But
have you had the peanut butter, Steve?
I have not, actually.
You need to track those down.
I haven't found them. I've looked.
They don't have them everywhere. They only have them a couple of places around here and not all the time. But if you can find them. Listen, man, next time I'm up that way, I'm bringing you some bourbon and some peanut butter Oreos.
I like it.
So, sounds good. Anyway, we miss you, Sarah.
Next up, Nathan Spooner. Which undrafted free agent rookie has the best chance of making the 53-man roster? All right, so I am going to run back through my profile and find my bookmark so I can look at all of the undrafted free agents. Do you have one in mind for yourself, Dusty?
I do. I had a couple guys that I kind of had on my list. I like this guy. He's intriguing to me, partly because of position. It's Curtis Bolton, inside linebacker out of Oklahoma. He's an athletic guy. He was undrafted, but he would have tested. I can't remember. I don't have his numbers right in front of me. I would have tested near the top. I think he it was a 4.540. I know, and a really good three cone. He spent most of his career in Oklahoma as a special teamer, and kind of didn't really get that starting inside linebacker role to Oklahoma or until his senior season. And he did good. I think he did most of his damage kind of as a pass rusher, which we've got a lot of those now, which is weird to say after last year, but he's perfectly serviceable. I think he's good as an inside linebacker. I think the thing that helps him out is this positional depth at this point. I mean, right now you basically got Martinez and Burks as your locks to make the team, and past that, it seems like kind of a free for all. So I was kind of looking at maybe a position that was a little thin in terms of guys they currently have on the roster. And I don't know, Bolton seems like a guy that could kind of sneak in, you know, maybe as depth and as a special teamer.
Some Josh Jones middle linebacker. I'm kind of clamoring for that. I think that's
I'd be down for that. I would be down for that. But I do think, like, when he makes it, he's going to make it as a safety, and they're going to rotate him down. I don't like. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're taking him as like a full inside linebacker. So
that's fair. I am actually going to make a bold prediction. I know we talked about But before we recorded this, we talked Josh Ninjman. I don't even know how the hell to say that. I'm sorry.
Not like that.
Yeah, it's not. That's not it. But I'm not gonna right now. I'm not gonna look that up. I'm actually gonna make go more bold prediction and actually say there will be zero undrafted free agents on this team this year.
Ooh, all right, new era.
I think they have. They brought in a strong draft class. They brought in some great free agents. You know, it's something that Ted never did. So they've got four new free agents. They've got, what, 7, 8 new draft picks. Yeah. They, I mean, they had some talent on this team already. So unless there's a big injury or some guy that they're bringing in plays out of his freaking mind, I think they're a little bit better set up than we think. So I'm going to say we kind of move away from the undrafted free agents, and we'll get a couple of them on the practice squad for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to go, I'm going to say none. That is my,
nice.
I know I kind of, it'd be a fresh change of pace and I'm kind of okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. All cause right. You're right. In the past, you're like, well, I hope Reggie Gilbert pans into something. So we don't have anyone else to rush the passer. And like those, a lot of those holes are filled.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Completely off topic. Corey Jennerjohn wants to know, do you bag or mulch your grass?
Corey, I mulch because I've got two young children and I don't have the time or the energy to bag, and my back hurts. So,
completely on the same board. I completely just there's no way in hell I'm going to bag my grass. Yep. I have a corner lot and a backyard, so not happening. I just spent a good 3 hours edging, doing some. The edging of my driveway, the front, the side, like it's one of those things. You get older, you want your lawn to look nice, and I kind of wanted to do that because it looked like it had never been done at my house. But it's a huge pain in the ass.
I moved about a year and a half ago, and we used to live in a place with like no yard, and now we got like half an acre we're on. And my neighborhood has a whole bunch of old people that all just either keep up there. Like there's people legitimately kitty corner to me that just it's immaculate. Too. It's two people in like their 70s or something that are retired. They're out there every waking hour, like legitimately every waking hour they're out there. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I actually just got a riding mower this year for the first time in my life. Oh, and it's a life changer because it's not 3.5 hours to mow my lawn anymore. But yeah, I gotta try to keep it looking nice, but I don't have a whole lot of time. So it's the closest I can get.
Mulch, mulch, mulch. I agree. All right, moving on. We've got Elijah Robb. Do you think Rashawn Gary will end up being second banana to Darnell Savage? To Elijah, I say, well done, sir. Well done. That is a great tweet. I loved it. It's very on brand for us. So the captain of second bananas, I will let you lead that off. Do you think Rashawn Gary will end up being second banana to Darnell Savage?
Steve, it's top banana. You know it's top banana.
I just like pissing you off. I'm just seeing there's so many buttons I can
just work on it.
I know. I just want to see if I can finally make Dusty explode.
First of all, I just want to say that I may have lost the banana bet where I still need to get a bottle of bourbon to you, Steve. I lost the bet. I lost the bet handily. I overestimated. But it has led to more people now using top banana and second banana. So in a way, I feel like I won. I just want to say I'm glad this terminology has made its way into just everyone's vocabulary now. So you're welcome. You're all welcome.
You're welcome, America.
America, you're welcome. Yeah, I'm going to say for the first season, yeah. I mean, I think what's going to happen, I've kind of gone on record of saying this before. You know, Savage is obviously going to be, he's going to slot in, he's going to be the starter at free safety this year. Whereas I think Gary's going to come along a little more slowly just based on who they have. I think Gary, at least first part of the season, is going to come on as primarily as a pass rusher in obvious passing situations, again, for at least like first half of the season or something until they kind of work him in. So you've got Savage out there as a starter, kind of, you know, making some plays, doing some stuff, not being haha Clinton Dix. And Gary's going to be out there, you know, for, you know, 15 to 20% of the snaps. So just my assumption, you know, at least first half of the season. And then I think as it kind of goes along, you know, starting the second season, Gary's going to be more involved. And the pass rusher, when a pass rusher is good, it's a sexier position because you're out there, people can see what's going on. Whereas a free safety, they're kind of off the screen. Unless you really look in, you're not really seeing how they impact the game. Whereas a pass rusher is very, very clear how you impact the game. So I'm going to say first season, Savage, top banana. Second season on, provided Gary realizes potential, Gary, top banana, and Savage will be recognized as second banana. But I really do think Savage is going to be a very good free safety. I just think based on where the position is, it's just not going to get nearly as much recognition by the majority of people.
Normally, I like to, you know, kind of go against you just so we have something to argue about. And sure. You know, it's more fun banter that way.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of nailed everything I wanted to say. I think starting off, like, Savage should be ready to go starter day one. And Gary, like you said, will be rotated in. So I think it's very easy to see how in the first year you'll see a lot more damage done by Darnell Savage as opposed to Rashawn Gary. But, yeah, eventually, as long as he does realize the potential, he's in the right room, mm-hmm. Learning all those things from the, you know, the outside backers, the defensive line guys. Like, if as long as he picks up on those things and is willing to do the work, he's got the potential to be freaking huge for the Packers. I mean, the thought of having him as an outside linebacker, Za'Darius Smith kicking in as a defensive end, Kenny Clark, Mike Daniels, Preston Smith, like, oh, like my mind kind of like just my eyes bulge a little bit, like, whoa.
Oh, we saw what Pettine did last year with that position. And now, like, just even beyond the Smiths, and now with Gary in the room, like, good gracious, they can do some damage.
You could even keep both Smiths on the outside and have Gary be a defensive end. Like, there's so many different schemes and ways to line these guys up that he's not going to be double team, triple team. He's going to be the guy they do single team because they've got so many other options that, holy crap, he might be able to do a little bit of cooking, might be able to eat a little bit more than he did in Michigan. So
for sure.
It's exciting. But yeah, like you said, year one, I'd say Savage, hopefully, and fingers crossed, year two, year three, year four, it will be Gary.
For sure, yes.
So let's go. We got one more. Jedi Pack, also a cool name. Like it. Which running back on our roster do you feel will get the most touches in the new offense?
I already know your answer, Steve. I already know your answer.
It's hard.
I mean, it's got to be Jones, right? It's absolutely Jones.
That, for me, yeah, absolutely. It's got to be. Like, I like Jamal Williams. You know, got another rookie in there and get some touches, you know, did some great things at Notre Dame, but still a rookie. I will. And when given the ball and he's healthy, Jones is a dynamic playmaker and no one could figure out why the hell he couldn't get the ball more.
So, yeah. And he's, I mean, you know, piggybacking off of that, he's more versatile than Williams. And what we know about LaFleur is he likes to use running backs in his pass and run game. He likes a running back that can do both. And hey, guess what? Jones can do both very, very well. So, I mean, there was always the concern of the pass pro, which I've said many times I think is an overblown concern. I don't think Jones is terrible at pass pro. Williams should get his touches. I think I saw that LaFleur said something about a committee-based approach, which I don't love, but I also don't love, you know, Jones out there, you know, getting a ton of carries. I do think you need to limit him somewhat, but it based on what he can do in the run and pass game, yeah, it's absolutely has to be Jones by a fairly considerable margin, like you said, provided healthy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a no-brainer. Like, Aaron Jones should be the feature back. Like, he is he's just everything you want in a running back. He has the ability to catch ball in the backfield and make plays. He makes guys miss. He makes the smart reads. Like, everything we all wanted, and then they just didn't use him enough. Yeah. They didn't use him enough for me. Like, we were clamoring for 20-plus touches, not even rushes, just touches. And we couldn't even get that. It was like 16, 18. I think it was one game that finally.
Yeah, maybe the first game they started going heavier with him. I think he touched 21. 25.
Yeah. Oh, was it? Maybe, yeah. So as long as he's healthy, he should be the guy. I think he should be the guy. They, like you said, they kind of will make sure that they get everybody some touches. They'll want to do that because LaFleur, I mean, you watch it. I mean, there was Derrick Henry getting the ball a lot, and then there was Deion Lewis, and they worked everybody in as they should. There's no need for one guy to get every single touch in the running back position anymore. There's just not. There's nobody good enough. Like, even Le'Veon Bell, I'm sorry, he's great. He's a great running back. Still shouldn't touch the ball every single down.
Right.
There should be people mixed in, give them, like, you want that in the, and I think that's what the Packers have. They've got a dynamic group of running backs that all can do some different things well.
Yeah, and I mean, the key for me that I always think about with offenses is versatility. I always think of a game and kind of offensive packages in terms of what can this group do in a no-huddle situation. Because ideally, you want to be able to either legitimately threaten to run the ball or pass the ball. And, you know, like I said, Jones is more dynamic, but, the other two guys are not slouches. They can still catch the ball. So I think any of those guys out there, I think Jones clearly is the best, but any of those guys can is a threat in the running game or the receiving game as well. And so that's the thing. When you go up tempo, you don't want to get stuck with a guy who, every time he's on the field, signals run only, like a LeGarrette Blount, because he can't do anything else. Any of those guys, right, a threat to do anything. So, I mean, they're not to say they're interchangeable, because they're not. But if you get one of those guys on the field and you go up tempo, I like, that's still enough to scare any defense.
Love it. We're on the same page. Also would like to announce that Milwaukee Bucks have officially beaten the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
Series is over. Thank God. Boston can go to hell. They are not winning another. They're not winning the NBA championship this year. Who cares if they win the NFL, they win the NHL, they win the MLB. Not happening in the NBA this year. And
Not today.
Very happy. I think that does wrap up our mailbox, unless I missed one. Do you got them all?
I think that was that's all I had, yeah.
Outstanding. We will try to end up on a fun note because, well, it's us and it's on brand, so we do need to talk about food a little bit. Dusty, I want to know, because we talked about this a little bit beforehand, but where is your favorite pizza place ever?
You know, it depends on the day. If I'm going thin crust, I'm going Donato's. The Donato's just straight pepperoni pizza is one of the best things in this entire world. But today, I'm feeling Jets. Man, we got Jets in the area. Got the just some of the best crust I've ever had. Their turbo crust is life changing, and then I've never had a bad topping from them. It's never been disappointed in Jets. It's always continuously amazing. So today, I'm saying Jets.
Okay. Before I answer, we actually have some breaking NFL news, and I did double check the. There is a check mark by Ian Rappaport, so it is actually Rap Sheet doing it, and I'm not being tricked. The Seattle Seahawks are signing former Lions franchise tag pass rusher Ziggy Ansah to a contract.
That was a possibility.
Official. So NFC team getting another, lose Frank Clark, add Ziggy Ansah.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see what the numbers are. So there's some guys out there right now that definitely could be interesting to see where they land. Like, there's some talented people out there to see kind of what the numbers end up being. But big guy going over to the Seahawks. So
just not in the division anymore. So happier for that.
That is good. As far as my pizza, if you ever go to Chicago, I like deep dish, but it's not my favorite. Peace Pizza. It is one of the best spots in right in the heart of one of the, very famous suburbs. I forget which one it is, but not suburbs. Sorry. I think it's over in Wicker Park, but outstanding pizza. Like, they have one. There's also a famous hot dog place there called Hot Dogs. I think they're out of business now, but the owner still operates with them, and they have a spicy sausage pizza that was freaking outstanding. It gets a little burn on the mouth, but they also have their own little brewery there, so they've got great beers. And pretty much any time I go down to Chicago, I'm always buying one of their pizzas, and unfortunately, they do not deliver to Milwaukee at all. It's very sad. But Peace Pizza, if you guys are listening, feel free to send me some free pizzas.
Always got an angle, Steve. Always got an
angle. I absolutely do, Dusty. I will always have an angle for free food. All right, well, that will do it for us. Next week, we'll be back again. Next Thursday, Sarah should be back, as long as she's not too hungover from Vegas. Will be interesting to see. Actually, I don't even think she's drinking, but
no,
she is 21, but still not able to drink, not drinking. So, should be fun though. I'm sure we'll be hitting some Packers stuff. We'll be hitting some food takes and some Beatles takes. I'm sure that'll be good. It'll be good for everybody, but
yeah, just, come with a little knowledge next time you come with the Beatles take. That's all I ask, Steve.
We're not going to get into this right now, Dusty. I mean, I'm right and you're wrong, but we're just not going to get into it because this would take too long.
It's incorrect. You're wrong.
Well, it's been fun, my friend. We will do it again all next week. Pack-A-Day Podcast. Make sure you follow. Oh, excuse me. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. I'm at Steve Perhead. Shut up. Don't laugh at me.
That's what happens, man. This is God striking you down for disrespecting the Beatles.
Do you want to host? Do you want to host? Really?
No, I absolutely do not.
Mm-hmm. I was going to tell the people where they could follow you on Twitter, but screw you. Cool. They all know where to go now. Make sure you follow us on Pack-A-Day Podcast. We always love the interactions. Thank you for the questions again. It was great, guys. We love the interactions. It was so much fun. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it, and we'll catch you guys next week. For Dusty, I'm Steve. As always, go Pack, go.
One kick away from the NFC Championship game from the 41. Left hash mark, 51-yard field goal attempt, snap, placement, kick to the upright. And it is right to the end. It is good, and the Packers are going. Championship game!
And what a happy bunch of green.